It is now time, ladies and gentlemen, for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Come Monday, August 1st, it will be Emancipation Day in Jamaica. Come August 6th, Jamaica will mark 60. But when we look at the 60 that Jamaica will mark, I call it an agreement that that Jamaica signed with Great Britain on August 6th, 1962. The two cousins who signed this agreement, Norman Washington Manley and Sir Alexander Bustamante, eventually became national heroes in Jamaica. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, we will have a futurist conversation of Jamaica at 60 years old. What next? What comes next? What does the future look like for Jamaica 15, 20 years from now? Let's say 2037. What does Jamaica look like? Joining us this morning, Anthony, our featured guest, founder of the Institute of Caribbean Studies in Washington, D.C. Do the honors, Anthony, and introduce the guest.
Well, Rastim, as you said, our special guest on Groovin' Radio, Mic Check, this morning. Her name is Dr. Claire Nelson, and Dr. Nelson has been actively engaged in the business of international development for more than 25 years. She works in the area of project development and management with a particular focus on private sector development. A Renaissance woman, she is a development engineer, a social entrepreneur, and she is a futurist. The first Jamaican woman to earn a doctorate degree in an engineering discipline and the only black in her graduating class. And Dr. Nelson, she holds industrial engineering degrees from the State University of New York at Buffalo from Purdue University. She also holds a doctorate in engineering management from George Washington University. She has served on numerous boards and committees, including U.S. Department of Commerce, U.S. Caribbean Business Development Council Advisory Board, Black Leadership Forum, D.C. Caribbean Carnival Association, and many more. She's recognized as a White House Champion of Change. She's sought after as a speaker on issues pertaining to economic development, to globalization, and issues concerning the Caribbean and its people. She's a frequent guest on television talk show Caribbean Nation, which is seen on cable TV in the Washington, D.C. area, as well as Caribbean Exchange, which is heard on WEAI at Morgan University Radio. So we welcome Dr. Claire Nelson to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Dr. Nelson. How are you?
Good morning. Are you hearing me loud and clear?
I'm hearing you loud and clear, Dr. Claire Nelson.
Good morning, Dr. Nelson.
Good morning, Anthony. Good morning, Rastim.
Yes, it is our pleasure to have you here once again, Dr. Claire Nelson, as Jamaica approach 60. Yeah? As Jamaica approach 60. Come Monday, it will be Emancipation Day in Jamaica. And I like to say this, you know, I got this little slogan that says emancipated, independent, but yet still we have a colonial education. We're going to have to wake up one day. Futurist conversation this morning, Dr. Claire Nelson. Jamaica at 60. But what comes next? What comes next, Dr. Nelson?
Well, that is a question I think Jamaicans at home and abroad will have to really take seriously into their heart and consider, and sort of have the same visionary behavior that our founding mothers and fathers in the 1930s had when they started talking and thinking through what an independent nation would look like. I think from my perspective, the last couple of years we seem to have lost our way. I'm not seeing, for me, the heights of great men fought and kept, so to speak. And I do think it is up to all of us to wake up, get up and stand up and take back the rights to decolonize our future by emancipating our mind from the mental slavery in which it is.
The time has
to start there.
Yeah, the time has come, Dr. Nelson, for us to talk with each other, but not talk at each other. Because if you look, and some will tell you that if you look at Jamaica before Jamaica gained independence, Jamaica seems to be a better place. I mean, what really happened? Because 60 years...
it's a question I ask myself.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that economic development, right,
mm-hmm.
has not brought the sought after social development, right,
mm-hmm.
that we would have wanted to see? One would have thought that with more prosperity, we would have had increasing civility
mm-hmm.
in our discourse,
mm-hmm.
in our behaviors, in our ability to live a peaceable and comfortable life. Because everybody obviously wants the same thing, a better life for themselves and for their children. But what constitutes a better life?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the challenge that we have been sold and bought into a cultural standard that has been packaged and sold to us. And I don't think we have taken the time to define
mm-hmm.
In accordance with the visions of our the scribes of our national anthem and our national pledge,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We have not taken the time to invest in the pillars that create the social cohesion and the social capital necessary for that piece of a future to grow up. You have to have a ground of development that makes it more likely that people see themselves as belonging to something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that enough Jamaicans right now, outside of the Olympics and the World Championships
mm-hmm.
see themselves as belonging to the same Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the inequality that we have seen and the divides, rather than getting, let's say, narrower and narrower, seems to be getting wider. So we are no more unequal
mm-hmm.
than we were probably from 1962.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the numbers, the middle class is decimated,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And so we have turned to a crass consumerism,
mm-hmm.
following the American mindset. And yes, I live in America, maybe I shouldn't say that. But the fact is, we've taken the worst, if you will, of what America has to offer, mm-hmm. as opposed to the best. And I say to that, we have to hold accountable the people who drive the social conscience, the social capital
mm-hmm.
of our countries, which is media and entertainment,
yeah.
to a large extent.
True. You know, and I have looked at every single leader who have gone into Jamaica House since Jamaica gained independence. And I have to hold those individuals responsible too. And it's funny, Anthony, how Dr. Nelson brought up the Olympics and World Championship. Listening this week to former Prime Minister Bruce Golding talk about Jamaica approaching 60 and Jamaica at 60. And one of the things that he keeps stressing is the success of our sporting academies in Jamaica. But here is it. It is not the only thing that Jamaica really have done well in. And Jamaica should have done extremely, and Jamaica has done extremely well in other areas. But Anthony, when you listen to Dr. Nelson talk about the economical development of Jamaica and Singapore has two of the deepest ports in the world. Natural harbor, natural port. It is said that Singapore took a blueprint that Jamaica had before independence, and Singapore used that blueprint to build its country to what it is today. What really happened? Anthony, have you asked yourself that question as we approach 60? What next for Jamaica, and where did we lose it, Anthony?
Well, Rasklin, you touched on a very critical point, and it comes back to corruption in Jamaica. And some say that this government is one of the most corrupt in the history of Jamaica. I am not just placing it on the current administration,
mm-hmm.
but there are past administrations that mm-hmm. have also been corrupt. So, Dr. Clear, my question to you is, what checks and balances do we need or need to be put in place to help to eradicate corruption, which is impeding our growth as we move beyond Jamaica 60?
I think for me, what I'd like to see is like a shedding of the blinders of more people. We have somehow, as a people, allowed the political elite to sort of give us the comfort of a bag of flour and sausage and a T-shirt, whatever color the T-shirt is, come election time, as a salve for our wounds, and allow them to sort of disempower us by the handout mentality. It's a kind of mendicancy that we see in our poor and underserved communities. Because I have been with a minister some time ago, I won't say who, and when his car rolled up into the area, it was just surrounded by able-bodied people begging, not for a job, mm-hmm. but begging for a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, why are they running this gentleman down for a handout when I'm looking at green fields here, beautiful land to be cultivated, food to be exported? And we did not do, I think somebody asked the question earlier, mm-hmm. we did not do a good job of transforming our painful experience in agriculture into the beautiful thing it could be. And so we still have a distaste for agriculture, mm-hmm. well deserved because of the slave past.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, manna for eat, you cannot live in a society without food and water. These are fundamental freedoms. So how can you have an international independent nation? Mm-hmm. You have a fertile, rich soil, Examarca land of wood and water,
mm-hmm.
and not do the proper investment in the technical and research capital for agriculture, and then the social capital, mm-hmm. to transform the farmer from his peasant past,
right.
to his, let's say, his or her in this case, to the idea that the farmer is actually feeding the nation and building the nation at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we still see pictures of the farmer with dirty fingernails and an old man in a dirty khaki suit.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the farmer driving around in, you know, a nice new Prada or whatever the car of the future is? Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
so the work that's been done, you talk about Singapore,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot stand when we compare ourselves to Singapore, because Singapore had a dictator that could have whipped people's ass into being. Singapore's criminal justice system is such that it basically operates on no tolerance, very low tolerance, mm-hmm. for indiscipline. We are an indisciplined set of people. We take pride in our indiscipline. Let me tell you about the time there was a concert here in Washington, D.C. Fab Five was playing. Mm-hmm. It was a wintry night, and we were coming out of Fab Five at the code check. And instead of having a line with their tickets, the people then bungle up with their tickets waiting for their courts. Now, how the hell in America are you going to do a court check with a bungle? The people am I used to seeing a line.
Yeah.
So the gentleman in his frustration stood up on the counter, and at one point he got up and he took the box of stubs and he says, "Will you form a line? You're going to form a line. We got to do it. I can't handle it unless you've got a line."
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a voice with pride, mm-hmm. of place say, "Line? Which line? Which part will come from Winner Giant Line?"
Oh,
and with that, there was a shoving of the people into the on wheels table, and the place mash up,
wow.
while the Jamaican massive in Washington, D.C. tore down the convention center to get their courts. No, savagery. Proud savagery.
Yeah. You know, again, 1 second, Anthony. Hold your thoughts 1 second there. I just have to say this. So maybe what we need is that same dictator to straighten Jamaica out. Because, yes, uh-huh. you're absolutely right. We are a group of indisciplined people, and we need to be sought out. You mentioned something there very also that I need to mention. In Jamaica, the curry goat politics need to stop. when you talk about driving around with whoever that politician was and people running up to them and begging them, they're begging for just a food. Them just want to eat a food. That mentality needs to go. The curry goat politics mentality, Anthony, in Jamaica needs to go. And when you talk about poor people in Jamaica, them say them belly full, but them still hungry. How can you have a nutritious meal when it's only contain a chicken back and chicken neck and chicken foot and some flour? So the government in Jamaica needs to understand that majority of the people are malnourished in Jamaica. Them belly full, but them still hungry. Anthony Turner.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to follow up on that comment that Dr. Pierre talked about, and you alluded to it, about manna to eat. The eat-a-food mentality, Dr. Clear, it's impeding us at all levels of the society in Jamaica. Because if you take the youth, a lot of them get into scamming. You ask them, why you get into this? You have an education. Because some of those youths are educated, university graduates. Then you say, boy, I'm just try to eat-a-food. If you go up to the highest level, the politicians, when they get in office, 4 years, to put together a plan to take Jamaica out of the poverty and the challenges that we face. But every man I try eat a food. Talk to us about this whole eat a food mentality. How can we rid ourselves as a culture, as a nation, of it?
You know, our instructions are encoded in our national pledge and our national anthem, right? And if the leadership, and I'm going to put the politicians, I'm going to put the churches, and I'm going to put the private sector, right? Because they all occupy seats of leadership and have the opportunity to do the transformational work, right? So if you, those of us who grew up in the 60s, right after independence, there's a crop of us that really did well emotionally. I'm going to talk about emotional because a nation can be transformed when enough people are emancipated. Those of us who grew up in the, boy, the son of done dirty Rasta era, right, grew up with a sense of our Africanity as a form of pride, right? We grew up in an era, we may not have turned, all of us may not have turned the Rasta, quote unquote, but we grew up when the Rastafarian community was beginning to seed a sense of, let's say, confidence in self, confidence that a God could look like us, confidence in our ideas. At the same time in America, remember, we had the Black Power movement. Black is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So Garveyism kind of began to take front stage mm-hmm. in that early 60s era. Mm-hmm. But do you think the government would want to see Garveyism, given that Garvey's our first national hero, take a seat in the mentality of the people so we would emancipate ourselves and free our minds? No. Mm-hmm. And so Garveyism was then truncated and put into a money, a coin, or what, a 50 cents coin, or a $5 coin, whatever here is right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not taught as a way of life. Garvey has left so many things. Between our national anthem, the national pledge, and Garveyism, we have the lyrics by which we should be dancing the tune. Mm-hmm. What? Teach us true respect for all. So you see a man going on and say, respect boss, respect boss. Mm-hmm. That comes in our national anthem. Mm-hmm. Give us vision, lest our perish. Mm-hmm. But we are now perishing for lack of a vision, and we're perishing because people do not have an inner vision of themselves as a disempowered, decolonized people. So we go back to this. Bob Marley sang it, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. And so I left to a church last week. My church is a very small church, it's an interfaith church. I had the opportunity to preach, and my sermon was songs in an emancipated key of life, and the text was, emancipate yourself from mental slavery, number of tests for your mind. Because I had to spend the time really exploring what does it mean to sing redemption songs. Mm. And we have it there in some of our music. We have redemptive songs in some of our music, but are we singing those no songs? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about the dancehall entertainment lately. What are we doing to our minds if most of what is popular entertainment is feeding the worst of what is and not the best of what is?
Preach on, sister. Preach on. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this morning, we're having a futurist conversation on Jamaica as they approach 60. What will Jamaica look like 15, 20, 30 years from now? What next? What comes next? Our guest is Dr. Claire Nelson. Yes, Anthony, the music also is to be blamed for where we are today. But our leaders, Anthony, and I'm once again going to hold everyone who have sat in Jamaica House and King's House, who represents the Queen, because if we are an independent country, if we are an independent nation, how is it our head of government is really the Queen? How is it that the First Lady in Jamaica is not the Prime Minister's wife? The First Lady in Jamaica is actually the Governor General's wife. The history of Jamaica, it needs to be in the clear now. So as we approach 60 years, Anthony, hundreds of years of emancipation, and 60 years of independence, it is now time to come clean. Anthony Turner.
Yes, I mean, you're putting together some important thoughts there that food for thought for the listeners, and they have to know, look, as we look forward to beyond 60 years, where do we go? Where did we go wrong? Mm-hmm. How we can correct? Because all of this is in the mirror, you know, so we have to look forward now. How do we correct some of our past?
It's possible, you know. Mm-hmm. It's possible, you know.
It is.
Because, as you said, it's in the mirror. We have to look forward, you know, forward ever, backward ever. Forward and for your car, right?
Yes, indeed.
So, what we need to do mm-hmm. is start with what we can do,
yeah.
right? Uh-huh. As a Rasta friend of mine, a colleague of mine said, no, man, we are the government. Mm-hmm. The tail can't wag the dog. Mm-hmm. So the tail is now wagging us. Mm-hmm. And the tail can't wag the lion. We are the lion, right? Mm-hmm. So it's up to people to take back the responsibility and the power that we have from quote-unquote the leaders, and recognize that we have to become leaders of our own destiny. Mm-hmm. And that means that we have to do whatever we can in the seats that which we have influence. So let's take the high schools, for example, right?
Right?
Those of us who have gone to high schools and primary schools in Jamaica have the power to form alumni associations. Mm-hmm. And we have the power through those alumni associations to form after-school programs.
Right.
And therefore, we have the power in the after-school programs to determine some content that can begin to create a new class of leadership,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That will begin to change the mindset of the future leaders to come, the emerging leaders, mm-hmm. the people in high school. So we have to infiltrate these spaces,
right.
be it the service clubs, be it the churches, or be it the schools, to begin to develop a new class of thinking, a new way of thinking, to educate those who are going to be voting next to know what to ask for.
Right.
To not ask for a bread today or a food today, but to ask for the tools by which they might feed themselves for life. And that is something that we have to do. We cannot wait on the politicians, because when I asked somebody the question recently, can you imagine a Jamaica without a garrison? And they asked me, look at me, I told me, like, I'm crazy. Now, if you can't even imagine a Jamaica without a garrison, then it means to say that we're not imagining ourselves fully free. So for me, emancipation is still coming.
Yes. Dr. Nelson, hold your thoughts there. The computer is going to take over in 50 seconds, but is it fair for me now to say, Anthony, let's elevate some hope? Yes, we may have lost the first half of this game. Let's concentrate now, folks. Let's concentrate on winning the second half. Because when we come back after the top of the hour, Dr. Claire Nelson, I want to know how far left or right we have drifted. We have drifted. Because yes, we have drifted, folks. Jamaica has drifted. Drifted off the course. And then we're going to wrap up the conversation this morning. Are we ready? Is Jamaica really ready as they talk about going a republic? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Groovin' Radio. Our very special guest this morning, futurist Dr. Claire Nelson. Stay where you are.
Stay tuned for Groovin' Radio with Ross Klemm on 93.5 WVIP.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Groovin' Radio on 93.5 FM. We are in our featured segment, and welcome back to the final 26 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. Saturday, July 30th, come August 1st, 2 days from now, Jamaica will mark Emancipation Day, and then on August 6th, Jamaica will celebrate the 60th agreement with Great Britain. On August 6, 1962, it is said the two cousins, Norman Washington Manley and Sir Alexander Bustamante, signed off on an agreement with Great Britain, ladies and gentlemen, that says Jamaica has been given some kind of independence. This morning's conversation is a futurist conversation about Jamaica at 60. What comes next? Our guest is Dr. Claire Nelson. And before we took the break, welcome back, Dr. Nelson. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Anthony.
Yes, I'm here, Austin.
So before we took the break, Dr. Nelson, I said when we come back, we want to talk about, my first question to you now is how far left or right have you think we have drifted? Because we have drifted some way somehow, huh?
Well, you know, I don't know because I was too young at that time in the 60s to have a sense. The only measure I would have of a drift is the number of murders.
Mm.
I think the number of murders per capita in Jamaica is the largest drift that concerns people, right? It is not a good feeling to see us being the top of the world, quote unquote. Murders per capita. It's not a good feeling.
No, you know, Dr. Nelson and Anthony and listeners, it is funny that you will go there, Dr. Nelson. Because if you want to put this in perspective, since Jamaica signed that agreement on August 6, 1962, over 40,000 people have been murdered in Jamaica. A report just about 2-3 weeks ago in the Gleaner, with just a blank, empty photo of the National Stadium, which is celebrating 60 years this year also. The photo says at the empty stadium that the National Stadium in Jamaica is not big enough to hold the amount of people that have been murdered, reportedly murdered in Jamaica. Talk about a drift. Because before independent and at independent, the murder rate in Jamaica was extremely low. And since independence, you have seen how far Jamaica has drifted when it comes to crime and violence, Anthony. And that is why your question and your thoughts about corruption in Jamaica. Jamaica is perceived to be the fifth most corrupted country per capita. Jamaica is the second most murderous country per capita. Those numbers are not good numbers as we approach 60 years of independence, Dr. Claire.
And so the question is, how do we redeem ourselves? And I use the word redeem in sense because if we are sold into a slavery of the mind, right? And we have been taught that none but ourselves can free our mind. It's up to us to redeem ourselves from whoever is trying to drag us willy-nilly into a future that looks more and more desperate. And it means that some of us will have to begin to write films, write songs, write stories, preach, teach a different vision for the future, and hopefully along the way we can get some of our entertainments and entertainers who hold sway and influence to go that route. It doesn't need everybody has to think that way, but we need enough people sharing that vision, having a common vision for a Jamaica land we love to take us over that hump. And that's basically what I'm trying to do with the Imagine Jamaica project initiative that I'm taking a baby step to launch in Jamaica. I said baby step because we don't have no money, we don't have no influence, somebody don't know me. But I just believe that, you know, rather than sitting around and complaining and quarreling or coming on this show and talking, let me at least do what God has put on my heart to do. And God has said to me, you know, why don't you take what you know about struggle and change making, mm-hmm. and see if we can reach out to some young people who believe they have something. Mm-hmm. They think they have it. They're not sure, but they believe deep down is a spark of them that might have something. Mm-hmm. And see if we can find enough young people, starting with this first 60. And even find the first 60 has been challenging. You know, we ask people to find six people, to find six people. And it's like pulling teeth to get people to come forward and say, hey, I believe in something. But you know what I've decided? I don't care if it's six people show up. I'm going to run that workshop. Because the disciples for change must start with whoever you get.
Yes,
right?
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Right? Marcus Garvey never had over people in his first meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither did any trade union in Jamaica have anybody. Neither did any Ras Mortimer, Ras Plano. Nobody that did anything that started something in Jamaica started with a multitude. They started with a few people.
Mm.
All I know is that there are people in Jamaica, good people, that are being held hostage by maybe 10,000 people. If 30,000 people in Jamaica not bad, I'd be surprised.
Mm.
Honestly. Mm. To be quite true.
Mm.
It's just that those who are bad are dominating our mindset, our mind feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the little weed them just sprouting up and multiplying in our mind, mm-hmm. and we got to get them out of our mind.
Indeed.
Think about the fact that Jamaica that to give the world Rastafarianism, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Have people who are bleaching them skin in order to be beautiful. You know, so that's something that's totally sick and wrong with us if that's what we come to.
Indeed. Indeed.
And we'll defend it.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, Dr. Claire Nelson, we know you. So don't say nobody don't know you. We know you. And no matter how small it is, Dr. Claire Nelson, we are here for you. We are here to move this thing forward. We're not going to sit by and sit in silence. We will never sit in silence, because in the end, you know, in the end, Dr. Claire Nelson, we all are going to have to pay for this, you know. We all are going to have to pay
exactly.
some way, somehow. In the words of Fidel Castro, he said that if he had to do it all over again, he would do it only with 15 men who are committed. Yes, it is not how big your circle is, you know, Dr. Claire Nelson. It's how effective your circle is. So it doesn't matter if it's 5 of us, 10 of us, 15 of us, 20 of us. It's the effectiveness of what we can deliver. And Dr. Claire Nelson, we are here. And we are not going to sit in silence as long as we have these microphones to uplift and motivate and educate the folks. This program is designed to tell the truth. We don't...
I'm going to ask your listeners to do one thing for me.
Yes, Dr. Nelson.
All of you who are sending home things for an ungrateful family,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who ask you why you don't buy this brand.
Mm-hmm.
Next time somebody asks you for something,
mm-hmm.
please ask them what they're doing to earn it. Because we're over here doing stuff to earn mm-hmm. what we are sending home. So they have to be doing something to earn what you are sending to them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a price. You cannot be asking for things for which you are not working. Are you going to school? Are you trying to start a shop?
Mm.
Are you trying to start a hair braiding shop? I don't care. What are you doing with the money if you're an able-bodied person that your family is sending? So we, the families here, have to stop providing and supporting mendicancy and psychophancy behavior in our families to begin with.
Put a pause on them, folks. I've been saying it for a while. To correct some of the issues in Jamaica, the diaspora must now put a pause on Jamaica. And before I ask my final question, where I want to go, I'm gonna quote Dr. Martin Luther King here. And he said, Dr. Claire Nelson, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Let that sink in, Anthony. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. It is time we wake up. Jamaica is now talking about drifting off into a republic. What kind of republic, and are we ready? Dr. Claire Nelson, your thoughts.
Listen to me.
Your thoughts.
Listen to me. I don't have enough time for that conversation today. We're not ready for neither reparations or republics.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're uneducated and ignorant.
right? If we can't even get our politicians who are now in leadership under control, right? When we have a privy court to go to, right? And international systems to go to, but we don't even know how to use those systems to our advantage. How are we going to govern ourselves totally when we're not even aware of the power we have as people? So we must first do the work of educating people to understand the Constitution. We have to teach Garveyism in school. We have to take the next 6 years, maybe, to do it the right way. And I hate to say it that way, but how can, when I, why do I say this? Because when I ask people, what does a repaired Jamaica look like? Nobody can, is willing to tell me in 2062, this is what we have accomplished because we got this money from England to do XYZ. Do you understand the banks are owned by the same few people? The businesses are owned by the same few people. The laws and the systems are controlled by the same few people.
Indeed.
But if we get money, what is it going to do to transform the systems? When you ask the people studying economics on campus, have you thought about new economic theory that is about using a different kind of ownership structure, like a Mondragon, for example, the largest cooperative company in Spain, where a whole city is owned by cooperatives, and they're not starving in Mondragon in that area, right? How are you? We can't do things like this in Jamaica. We'll talk about reparations for what and for whom. The money will be wasted on Pajeras and Pradas by the very few, and projects which mean nothing. Everybody's going to pay. Oh, it's a World Bank project. It's an IDB project. It's a UN project. No. The money is spent for the people. It's a people's project. So we have to stop using these terms and use language that demonstrates we care. Vision 2030 must not be a book document. I've been complaining for years. Nobody's taking it on. They think I'm mad in Jamaica, some people. It's not a book document. Vision 2030 should have been turned into personal statements and company statements and school statements and project initiatives when it was first started in 2010. Here we are approaching 2030 and it's just now that you know, it's a star forming. And I hope the people who are doing star in Jamaica will link up with what we are trying to do in the diaspora. I hear them calling diaspora, calling diaspora. Mm. I don't know who in the diaspora they're talking to, but I'm sure they're willing to talk to them when I go down to Jamaica next week to see how can they help really use some of the techniques I've used in my development work around the world to really do something different, to feed, to cultivate a development mindset, a freedom mindset, and emancipated people in Jamaica. And that we want to do.
Preach on, sister, preach on. Anthony Turner, anything you have for Dr. Claire Nelson before she wrapped this morning? Anthony? Well, I think we have lost Anthony Turner, dear Dr. Claire.
No,
Nelson.
Man, I'm here. I'm here,
okay,
man.
Okay, Anthony, anything you have for Dr. Claire before
absolutely,
you go?
Absolutely, man.
Go ahead. We're about to wrap.
Dr. Claire spoke about the family. Because when I remember growing up in Jamaica in the 70s and 80s, the village was who disciplined the kids and grew them up, make sure they grew up a certain way. And you spoke about sending bars to them, and we have to hold them accountable. But what I want to ask you, Dr. Claire, is that talk about how the destruction of the family is impeding our future growth. Because the family, it just seems like our family structure, the family unit that we used to, is not there anymore. So talk to us about that.
I don't know if we ever had a family unit as you're talking about. I grew up in a single-parent household. My mother was, quote-unquote, given away when she was a child. We all grew up with that. We're coming out of the enslavement experience. So we never had a nuclear family that everybody had. That's why most of us don't even know our great-grandparents' name. People migrated to Cuba, Costa Rica, England, and all over the place to find work. So we are very fractured people. But what we had was a sense of self. We had a sense of decency. Now with children having children too early in Jamaica and losing somehow maybe connections to through the culture getting slack and the leaders becoming slack, quote unquote, and encourage them off this village mindset where we could say, hi, Miss Brown, six times a day. Hi, Mr. Smith. Hi, Mass Joe. Hi, Mass Tom, right? We've lost that. So it's not
so much the nuclear family, but it's a sense of the community as family, but in a positive way. Not a community as family as in imprisonment, that you have to think exactly like they think. And if you don't, then the gun will tell you otherwise. Where you vote with a gun to your head, as one lady from Trenchtown told me in a workshop I had some years ago. We have got to find a way to get even the dons, who some of them are saying they're tired of the violence, to understand and to be taught how they end up doing what they're doing, so they can unlearn themselves and use their done manship to really correct manship some of the kids that they have corrupted.
Yes,
so the dons themselves need to be part of the problem. And I won't say what I really want to say, but if I was a dictator, it would be the same thing, because I think that we do need a more benevolent dictator type character, benevolent and honest. Right, because when Singapore president found anybody who was corrupt in his administration, that person was basically cut off and left off to drift. We don't have that system. We are still suffering from a slavery mentality that says, oh, if I don't have certain things, I'm not important, therefore I must grab, steal and plunder. So we have the piracy, plus that was fed by the cowboy mentality. This is why we have names like Bounty Killer and Dillinger. We watch cowboy movies in America and we eat them hook, line and sinker. And so all of this is about, quote unquote, the cowboys in of the whole island, the gong singers, right? They even shoot the way they see on TV. So my point is, we have been set a steady diet of things that have given us appetite to malnourish our soul. How do we nourish our soul? How do we sing redemption songs? Bob Marley was speaking from his heart with prophecy, words of prophecy, right?
2 minutes.
Won't you help us sing a redemption song? So what are the redemption songs, right? Where do we uplift the positive music and teach that in the schools? Because the kids are hearing dance hall, but if every school in Jamaica pick a song list, right?
Right.
And rather than just say, okay, no music in the school, you can't get around the music, right? You pick a song list that you want to hear, and you play that positive song list to contrast the negative songs that they're hearing in the streets or on the earphones. At least your ear gets used to another popular tune that is positive.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
So you have to use the tricks of the trade. Am I making sense?
Making a lot of sense, Dr. Claire Nelson. You know, earlier on you said in Jamaica they think you're crazy. I think you've gone too far, because right here, they think I'm crazy. They think because I don't spend my entire time on radio playing music and running infomercials that I'm crazy. I'm the crazy one. Because there's no way that I could come here and have an hour conversation with an individual like you who's imparting knowledge on the community. They think that I am crazy. But I have the courage, Dr. Nelson, because it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage to do what I'm doing, you know. I tell you, it takes a lot of courage, because at time, Dr. Nelson, I feel like giving up, but I keep hanging on to that little courage that I have. And I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can. Our conversation this morning on Mic Check is with Dr. Claire Nelson, a futurist, ladies and gentlemen. Futurist conversation of Jamaica at 60. What comes next? What will Jamaica look
courage
like?
Courage is the first principle of becoming a Talawa person.
And
my workshop is about becoming Talawa. Courage.
Yes.
Purpose.
Yes.
Vision.
Yes.
Perseverance. Hope. Faith and love.
And we say no.
We have sold the world one love mentality.
Yeah. But how come we're the one love
mentality?
Dr. Claire Nelson. And I give you 60 seconds to respond to this. How is it we're the one love country? We're supposed to be the one love country, and we are the most murderous country.
Murderous.
How is it we're the one love country, Dr. Nelson? And that might be for another program, you know, because I really want somebody to tell me, how is it we get up every day and say one love, but we are the most murderous people in the world? There's something wrong with that, Dr. Nelson.
That's the question. I don't want to end on this note, and I want to say what a wise man, Winard Adams, once said.
And people say, Renato Adams. Renato Adams once said in my hearing, why are we letting 10,000 people or even less than that terrorize our country? That is the question. We, for the most part, are loving people. We're peace-loving people.
Yeah.
But the few that have basically become rotten apples are taking up our mind. And so we have to find the correct ways. And I do believe that hopefully a program like yours, hopefully more diaspora waking up to the power we have, can begin to empower people. Hopefully more people, not just passing around TikToks and those which are murderous and slack, but also passing on positive news. We have to have a good news and a good vibe. Theory being put out there to counteract and soak up the negative energy. It's energy, you know. Music is energy.
It is.
And lastly, we have to have a musical platform that really reintegrates that heart, one love music into the mindset of the people.
Yeah, man.
And if it means that we have to get more people buying radio stations, owning shows to counteract that angry, violent zone, I don't want to confuse anger and protest with violence. They're two different things. Protest is valid, right?
30 seconds. Yeah.
Violence for the sake of violence is not.
Yeah.
I want to say to all Jamaicans today, as we celebrate in these next 13 days, events starting tonight all around the country, what can you do for Jamaica? What organization, what alumni, what church group, what social group do you belong to? And how can you seed in Jamaica and cultivate the field for peaceable futures, for one love futures?
That's it.
Using Bob Marley and Marcus Garvey, were two prophets.
Right.
One God, one aim,
one destiny.
One destiny, one love.
Yeah, one love.
Our credo.
Definitely there. Dr. Claire Nelson, thank you so much. You have to come back and talk to the community. You must come back and talk to the community in the very near future. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Nelson. One love.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes,
one love.
You're so welcome. Take care. Anthony Turner, we're at that moment where we're going to have to wrap and make room for the next presentation, which is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Thank you so much, Anthony. Take care up there in Canada and come back safe, my brethren.
Yeah, man. One love. One destiny.
One love. One love. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before I go, I have to say, birthday greetings to all my boys. Birthday greetings to all my boys. Bijan celebrated a birthday on the 25th. Zaid will celebrate a birthday on the 31st. Jair will celebrate a birthday on August 1st. Birthday greetings going out to my brethren Kirby. And blessed birthday greetings going out today to the legendary singer-songwriter, actor and producer, James Jimmy Cliff Chambers, born in Montego Bay, Jamaica, on July 30th, 1944. Jimmy Cliff turned 78 today. Groovin' Radio was executive produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation this morning musically, we had Leela Hike, we had Nadine Sutherland, we had Protege, Christopher Martin, and Romaine Virgo. In our community engagement segment, the founder and principal of the Garvey School. The Garvey School need your support. Miss June O'Connor joined us. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Mr. Javon Johnson, your presenter. Anthony Turner brought us ER Report and Entertainment ER Report. And on mic check this morning, yes, Futurist Conversation, Dr. Claire Nelson, waiting on the other side of this 11:30 hour. It is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Soundchat comes in at 8 p.m. this evening. I'll see you at Jerkfest tomorrow. Again, stay tuned for the Wake Up Radio team.